there have been a lot of ups and downs for people nearing retirement age in the last decade. The Great Recession has some near retirees pushing their work years further into the future, and it's created uncertainty to this day.
Our next guest has financial advice for people knocking on the door of retirement. Emily Guy Birkin is a finance writer, a contributor to a number of publications. Her new book is called The 5 Years Before You Retire, Retirement Planning When You Need It the Most. Emily, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're not discouraging people from starting to plan even earlier, but why is 5 years a really good, solid starting point?
Well, that is the point at which people suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this is real. Every single one of us tend to be procrastinators. And so, you know, you're focused on other things through much of your career, you know, raising your family, saving for college, those sorts of things. And it's within those 5 years before retirement that all of a sudden it becomes real and you realize, oh, I really need to focus on this. And 5 years is a good chunk of time in that there is still time for you to make a major difference in your retirement, but it's not so much time that you go, oh, I don't have to worry about that till later.
And you wrote a piece, I think it was earlier this year, on how our brains can sometimes keep us from planning for retirement even once we get into that window. How can we overcome our brain's reluctance to tackle these issues?
Well, it's all about outwitting yourself, actually. If you make plans that are going to thwart your laziest self, that's the important thing to do. For instance, one of the things that that people tend to do is they always think, oh, later I'm going to fund my retirement. So what you can do is right now, because you know, when you're thinking about it right now, go ahead and plan to have every single raise that you get over the next few years just automatically put into your retirement account. And so then you don't have to think about it later. And a lot of companies are allowing you to have an automatic increase in your 401k savings and things like that that you do once a year. And if you think about that before the raise is on the table, before you start thinking, yes, well, but I could do this with the money or I could do that with the money, when you are just clearly thinking, no, I want to make sure that I have a secure retirement and you're not at the moment tempted by the money in your pockets, then you're much more likely to save than if you wait until you get the raise and you start having that lifestyle creep.
Now, once we're in that 5-year-ish window, how do we start assessing our retirement readiness?
Well, the important thing to do is just peel off the bandage real quickly. A lot of people are afraid to look at what their retirement accounts have. And so I liken really starting a plan for retirement as very similar to starting a weight loss regimen. The very first thing you have to do is get on the scale and know where you are. And that actually can be the biggest stumbling block for most people because they know they haven't done enough, and so they're afraid to look at how bad it is, and so they just hide their head in the sands. So the very first thing you need to do is just take a clear look at where you are, find all of your retirement accounts. If you haven't started one, find the information that you need to do that, and start looking at those calculators for how much you will need for a comfortable retirement. It can be very uncomfortable and difficult to do this particular thing. And again, like it's actually in some ways the easiest part. You know, just like stepping on the scale is the easiest part of losing weight. But psychologically, it hurts. So just go ahead and do that. And then same thing, no shame, no blame about what's gone on in the past. Just plan on moving forward. Because if you start like, well, I should have done this and I should have done that, that's not doing what you need to do, which is planning ahead.
So suppose we've hit that 5-year mark. We haven't set much aside. What kind of changes can we make in that short 5-year span that are really going to make a difference and allow us to retire and be okay when we do that?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would recommend people do. The first one is generally people who are 5 years to retirement, they have already hit the age where they can maximize their retirement accounts. For instance, for a 401k, the maximum that you can contribute before you reach, I believe it's age 55, is $17,500. After age 55, it's $23,000. So take advantage of those maximums. So that's one thing that you can do. Now, I know a lot of people will listen to that and be like, I can't put that much money aside. Well, the other thing to do is plan long term, even if you only have 5 years before your projected retirement date. And the way that you can do that is by using something called the bucket method, or it's also called strategic asset allocation, where basically you plan on having three different sets of money. One set is for short term, and you're going to put money in there that you want to protect the principal. So it's going to be low volatility, things like treasury bills, CDs, and things like that. And so that's the stuff that you want to know is there for the first, let's say, 5 years of retirement. Then you'll have a second bucket that's going to have a little higher volatility. It's going to have more bonds, some stocks, for years like 6 through 15. And then you'll have a third bucket for years 16 through the end of your life. And so by having those things, you have the time to allow your assets to grow for that last bucket, even if you haven't saved that much between now and up until this point, and even if you only have about 5 years to go. You can stretch your money, make it grow a little bit longer by doing this, rather than focusing on, I have to have whatever $1 million that you want to have.
Now, we've talked a little bit about figuring out what money we have. I know in the book you get into checking out our income and our expenses, but say we do that, the income is clearly going to be less than our monthly expenses. How do we start adjusting our lifestyle, our expectations, our mindsets to be ready to balance the books after we retire?
Well, I think that it's really important to remember that, you know, There are two ways to think about retirement. There's your dream retirement, and it's a great idea to dream big. You know, think big and what you really, really would love to have if money were no object. So that's one side of it. And then on the other side of the coin, I want you to think little, which is what's the least you need to feel good, to have a contented retirement. So the story that I tell is there was an older woman who, she and her husband had lost everything. And so she was a widow by the time that I knew her and was living in basically a group home. And it was not an ideal retirement. But she was an avid reader. In this group home, they took her to the library regularly, so she got all the books that she wanted. She had a safe place to stay. She had three square meals a day. She had people that she could talk to, and she was perfectly happy. That's not the retirement she ever would have dreamed of, but it was the minimum she needed to feel content. So recognizing that somewhere in between that big dream retirement and that minimum contented retirement is going to be where you're living. So if you know what those are, you can start cutting the expenses that you don't really need to be contented. And that's actually a really important exercise to do, no matter where you are in your life or your career, but just recognizing that there you don't need nearly as much as you might think you do.
Now, at the end of your book, you list some common pitfalls in retirement planning, among them, as we're factoring our costs, not accounting for health care. How can we make sure we've taken that into consideration?
Well, healthcare is a really scary thing because the current estimates for healthcare is $220,000 for healthcare costs in retirement for a 65-year-old couple who retired in 2013. So, and 65-year-olds, they are eligible for Medicare, so that is still factoring Medicare in. There's a common misconception that Medicare takes care of everything healthcare-wise when you retire. So the main thing to do is to spend some time actually looking at the numbers and figuring out what you can expect healthcare-wise financially. And that includes, you know, factoring in your own health and knowing, you know, your family health issues and things like that. So it's, again, it's not the most pleasant way to plan for retirement, but it's something you absolutely need to do to know what to expect if you are to get sick or, in particular, if you're to need long-term care, which is if you need regular help with any kind of, daily living, you know, eating, bathing, cooking, that sort of thing, but don't actually need to be in a nursing home necessarily or in a hospital, because that is something that Medicare doesn't cover and can just eat up an estate.
Emily, as we wrap up, can you convince us on Halloween that we shouldn't be living in fear of retirement? Can you boost our morale a little?
Absolutely. You know, you need less than you think you do for retirement. Now, I need to be careful saying that because so many people don't actually save. Over a third of baby boomers have less than $10,000 saved, and almost half, 46% of the general population has less than $10,000 saved for retirement. However, if you are planning for retirement, if you're putting money aside, you're already ahead of the curve. So the people who are listening to this and who are freaking out because, oh, I haven't saved enough, if you've already thought about it, you're ahead of the curve. The other thing is people get very concerned about Social Security, and Social Security is not perfect. There are certainly some problems with it, but it is there. It is something that can help to supplement your income. So don't forget that that's an option. Also, if you are married or have been married, spousal Social Security can actually make a big difference and can very much help. And there's, in fact, I believe it's something like 83 different ways you can take Social Security in conjunction with a spouse or even an ex-spouse. So really, retirement doesn't need to be frightening. The other thing to remember is that our view of retirement is the end of work, and that's actually not a good view. When you end work, a lot of people die just a couple years after they just finish their career and, you know, make boats in bottles afterwards, because we're meant to work. So if you think of retirement as a new chapter in your life, as a change in how you live, as a change in your career, then it's going to infuse much more life in your life. And it's also going to make it possible for you to extend your savings much farther. So all of these are very positive things and very good ways to look at retirement without being super frightened of it.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's finance writer Emily Guy Birkin. Her new book is The 5 Years Before You Retire, Retirement Planning When You Need It the Most.